All right, thank you, preacher. We appreciate that. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter number 16 tonight, Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 16 this evening. It sure been a blessing to be here and fellowship around the good things of the Lord, and grateful for the efforts and the energies going into the meeting. And we do what God wants us to do and leave the rest of it in His hands. All right, Matthew 16, I want you to look down in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. Tonight I want to look at this subject, hell shall not prevail. Hell shall not prevail. Now we know that John the Baptist has been beheaded, and the disciples certainly are hurt by that, just like you'd be hurt if you had a close preacher friend that had been beheaded. But the Lord knew that His disciples needed a little R&R. And in verse number 13, it tells us that He went up into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And He took His disciples apart. And as Vance Havner used to say, sometimes we have to come apart lest we come apart. And it's real easy to get wound so tight that we blow a gasket. And so there are times when we need to just back up, back off, get everything off of our mind, and let the Lord just calm us down and speak to us. My dad used to have a favorite saying when pressures would get on and people would be upset. He'd say, "Just don't get excited. Just don't get excited." Well, sometimes the Lord pulls us aside and tells us not to get excited. Well, while He's there, we see the Lord begins to question His disciples. Now, when He asks a question, it's not that He doesn't know the answer, but He asks that question to get them thinking in a certain mode. I see a leading question. It's like a lawyer. And sometimes the other attorney will say, "Objection, leading the witness," and the judge will say, "Don't be leading the witness." In other words, you're asking things in such a way that you're driving them toward a certain answer. Well, the Lord is asking a leading question here. And He asked the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" What's the word out there on the street? And sometimes when we're witnessing, sometimes when I witness, I ask people, "What do you think about Jesus? Who is He? What's your thoughts about Jesus?" And man, you're going to get all kind of answers. And the Lord asked His disciples, "What have you heard out on the street? What's the word out there? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, they begin to answer and say, "Well, some of them say that you're John the Baptist." And we know that Herod said that, because when Herod heard Jesus preaching, he feared, because he heard a familiar message, "Repent," and he heard a familiar voice, "For the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and he thought that John the Baptist had risen from the dead to come back and hone him for what he had done. And certainly when people saw Jesus, He was a lot like John. John feared no man. John was a man that was not swayed by the Pharisees or Sadducees, and the Lord would, John would say to them, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, you generation of vipers and snakes?" And when you read how Jesus preached to the Pharisees and Sadducees, he
really scalds their hides as well. And so some thought, well, he's John the Baptist. Then another disciple said, well, I've heard him say that you're Elijah. You know, before that great and terrible day, Elijah must come. He's a prophet of fire and one of miracles and one of power. And certainly the Lord Jesus was a man that produced many miracles. And when they saw the power of Christ, they thought, this is Elijah. Then some said, well, I heard a fellow say the other day that you were Jeremiah reincarnate. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And he said, I would that my eyes were rivers of water that I could weep over the children of Israel and their sins and all that they did. And our Lord was a Lord of compassion. You think about him sometimes, you're just being strong and stern and all that. But one of the shortest verses in the Bible is Jesus wept. And Hebrews says that he is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And Jesus was a man of compassion. And we don't get all the sermons that he preached. There's a lot of them in the Word of God. But I imagine that sometimes when he preached that there would be weeping. And he looked out over Jerusalem and he wept and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen would gather a brood, and you would not. And I see tears drip off his cheeks there. But you know, all these folk were mistaken. And the reason they were mistaken is they thought that Jesus was trying to be like these men, when actually those men were being like Jesus. Because you see, he's God. And he was pouring in them his character. It came out in different hues, just like sun is reflected in different rays off of different jewels. So in every child of God, there are varying gifts, there are varying characteristics and mannerisms and all those things. But you're going to catch a glimpse of who God is. And when you think about Elijah, man, he just manifests the power of Jesus. And when you think about John the Baptist, he was overflowing with Jesus. You think about Jeremiah, he had a heart that was filled with Jesus. When you think about some of the prophets, some of them said the prophets, that's who you are. They were filled with Jesus, and they were mistaken that Jesus was trying to mimic them. No, it's the other way around. And so we find that's the answer down on the street. You get a lot of answers down on the street. But then he asked them this question, whom do ye say that I am? Well, don't you love it? Oh, Simon Peter. I know. He raised his hand in class that day. And old Peter, he was one that just sort of spoke his mind in a hurry. I asked my granny bishop one time who read the Bible over 100 times. I said, who's one of your favorite Bible characters? She said, Simon Peter. I said, why? She said, because I'm just like him. Said he's always sticking his foot in his mouth and falling on his face, but the Lord would pick him up and dust him off and set him right back on the trail. Said, I'm just like old Simon Peter. But boy, on this day, Simon Peter came to the head of the class. He said, I know who you are. I ask you this question, do you know who Jesus is? Peter definitely knew who he was. He gave a fast answer. He didn't have to say, well, let me think about it. I don't know. I'm just trying to reckon who you might be. No. He immediately said, I know who you are. He had an answer just like that. And it's the Peter that God inspired to write down, be ready to give an answer to every man of that hope that lieth in you. And if you know who Jesus is, you don't have to guess and wonder, and you don't have to put two and two together. I mean, it's there in your heart. A teacher used to say to my dad, he'd say, I know the answer. She'd say, no, you don't know. If you knew, you'd spit it out. Well, if you really know who Jesus is, you need to be ready to spit it out and tell him it was fast. Be swift to give an answer of who he is. And then it was firm. He said, I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't say, are you the Christ of the Son of the living God? No. He said firmly, I know that you are the Son of the living God. And that's the blessing of Jesus dwelling in our heart and giving us assurance. We're not out here testifying to people that which we don't know. We're simply telling them that which we do know. And we are solid and firm in our persuasion. Sometimes people ask me, why do you go and do all that you do and travel and all that? I said, it's not because of a fuzzy feeling. And it's not because of something I'm guessing at. I know who Jesus is, and I know what He wants me to do. And it's that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, that keeps us going on. And it keeps us from tottering on the axle. If you ever wonder and doubt and begin to guess, is this really so or not? The devil will knock you for a loop in a hurry by blowing you around like a tornado or a hurricane. But Simon Peter said, I know he had a foundation. He said, thou art. And then look at the facts. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Simon Peter was a Jew. And for a Jew to say anybody was the Christ, Christ meant the anointed Messiah. It meant the one that was promised from Genesis in the garden, the seed of the woman, and was testified and elaborated on, and the truth was developed all through the Old Testament. And all the Jews were looking for the Christ, the Messiah, to come. And you didn't just say to somebody, oh, you're the Christ. No. He had to have undeniable proof of who He was. And Peter knew Jesus. He said, I know who you are. You are the Christ. You fit the bill. He came as the seed of the woman, the virgin-born Son of God. He came in the right lineage. He came in the right time. He was born in the right place. He was called by the right name. He had the right circumstances to happen all around Him. And prophecy after prophecy after prophecy was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. And those prophecies were lined up like soldiers as He marched through time, and they would all salute Him as the captain of their salvation. And the prophecies would say, that's Him, that's Him, that's Him, that's Him. The man that wrote Ben-Hur, He was challenged by the infidel Robert G. Ingersoll one time. Said, you don't know that there was even a Christ. There's no proof historically or any other way that Jesus Christ lived. He said, I'll investigate. And he investigated. The more he investigated, the more he realized that the facts say so. And that Jesus fit the exact bill. And he became a real believer in the Lord Jesus and testified of that all of his life. And the facts were buried out. Now, what happens is, I witnessed to a Jewish man the other Sunday, and he came and heard me preach, and then afterward we stood in the vestibule and talked a long time, and I asked him about the Old Testament and all the Pentateuch and all that. I believe that. I started spitting out verses that described who Jesus was, and I got to Isaiah 53. He said, I've never heard that in my life. I said, well, isn't that amazing that God gave that to you? And I said, now some of you liberal Jews will say the second half of Isaiah is not even inspired or not even to be in the canon of the scripture. But I said, you go to the shrine of the book in Jerusalem, Israel, and there's a 22-foot long scroll there that they found in the Dead Sea. That's one of the oldest visible manuscripts you can lay your eyes on. And it's got all of Isaiah, including that 53rd chapter that describes how the Messiah would have to die. He said, oh, I didn't know that. I'll have to examine that. I said, well, if you do, you're going to come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ. And Simon Peter said, I know who you are. You are the Christ. But not only do I know that you're the Christ, you fulfilled all that. I know you're the Son of the living God. How'd he know that? Well, there was a day when the Lord spoke to him and said, thou art Peter. And he said, I'm going to call you a stone in this economy of God. And he got on Peter's boat one day and preached. And then Peter said, all right, I'm going to pull you back to shore. He said, no, back up and take you a draught of fish. And Peter said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. And anybody, any fisherman knows you throw a net in the daytime, the fish will scatter. But nevertheless, at your word, and he threw out the net, the little test net. That thing swelled up and began to churn in the water like an agitator in a washing machine and fill up and started breaking, not from fish trying to get out, but from more fish trying to get in. And he hollered at James and John. They came over there and they throwed their nets out and they filled all their boats up. And Peter's there loading the boat up with those fish and everything. And then he comes to himself and he looks, and back there in the corner of the boat somewhere, Jesus just watching him. And suddenly he knew there was more than people on board his boat. And he said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." Like a man coming out of a dark place into a bright shining light, he just sort of shirked back and confessed he was a sinner and confessed who Jesus was. And the Lord said, "Fear not." And when you see yourself lost and you see the need of Jesus and you shirk back, that's when the Lord can do business in your heart. And then Simon Peter said, "I know who you are. You're the Son of the living God. I was there on the mountain when I heard you preach. I saw you come down the mountain and this leper come running up to you and we were all afraid. And you reached down and you touched him and you said, 'I will, be thou clean.' And I saw the man's leprosy depart from him and he's got him a job now and got his clean leprosy certificate. I know who you are. You're the Son of the living God." Well, Peter said, "I know who you are. I was in that ship when we were all about to get swamped and drowned. I saw you stand up on the bow of it and say, 'Peace, be still.' And the waves laid down and licked your feet. I know who you are. You're God the Son." Peter said, "I know who you are. I was there whenever you touched that widow named son who was dead in the casket. And he jumped up out of there, hugged his mom, and they down there shouting the victory today. Oh yes, I know who you are. You are God the Son." My, what a testimony that is. Now, I want you to look next at the credit the Lord gives. Simon Peter got the answer right. And the Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." He said, "You're blessed because you understand who I am." He said, "But I want to tell you where you got your answer at. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You didn't conclude this by reasoning. You concluded this because my Father revealed this unto you. And I want to say that salvation is a revelation. A lot of flesh and blood believers in our congregations, all they know about God is something in their head. He said, "Peter, this was not just in your head. This came as a revelation." I heard a Bible college teacher say one time, "Don't use the word revelation, boys. There's just one revelation, that's the Bible." Well, I agree there's one inspired revelation of the Scripture, but I also know what Jesus said. "No man can know the Father save the Son, and whomsoever the Son will reveal him." You're not going to know God without a revelation. That's where Holy Ghost conviction comes in at. This is Wednesday night. This is the nucleus of this church. And if there's anything we need to pray for, with all this seed being sown all around this community and in your lives, and it's a revelation of God, a quickening, a moving by the power of God. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." It happened to me that May night. I was just in that service minding my own business. But then God convicted and opened my heart and opened my eyes. And I saw myself lost and undone without God. I've heard testimonies around the world. And I love to ask people, "How did you come to faith in Christ?" And man, them just go through how the Lord brought them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how God, the Holy Ghost, can get a hold of a man's heart and suddenly his eyes are open and he realizes, "Hey, I'm lost as can be." And friend, when that happens to you, if it happens to you, you need to say, "Oh Lord, I thank you for showing me that. Now I want to walk in the light and I want more light. God, save me by the grace of God." I appreciate what Byron did the other morning. As God opened his eyes to say, "Hey, you're looking in the wrong place. You need to look unto Jesus and be you saved all the ends of the earth." That happened to me that May night. And if we could hear testimony after testimony, the Bible says, "God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine that light into our heart." You can teach a blind man a lot of things. You can teach him to describe a sunset. You can teach him many things. This school of the blind is amazing what they can do, but they're still blind. But that blind man that had his eyes open in 1 second of seeing knew more than he ever could learn by himself. And the Lord opens your eyes and heart. You can be saved by the grace of God and see more than you've ever been able to see. You're entering into a spiritual realm and into a spiritual light. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then the Lord says, I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I know that the Roman Catholics say that here's where Jesus crowned Simon Peter as the first pope. But I want to ask Peter, was he talking about you being the rock that the church was built on? And Peter said, oh my, they've missed that. Look over in 1 Peter chapter number 2, if you will, please. Let's ask Peter who that rock is that the church is built on. Hey Peter, who was he talking about? Well, in 1 Peter chapter number 2, he says in verse number 3, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And in verse number 4, he says, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. The word disallowed is a Jewish technical term. It means they brought the building supply up here and we rejected it. It didn't fit the bill. Well, Jesus didn't fit the bill for them. They said, that's not the Messiah we're looking for. We want one crowned with glory. Peter said, this is the stone which is disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. And he says, you're lively stones. That's what Peter was, a lively stone. But in verse 6 he says, wherefore it's also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Peter, who is this rock that the church is built on? Oh, him that's altogether precious and lovely. His name is Jesus. He makes it plain. He wasn't talking about him. He says, I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Things will be bound on earth and bound in heaven, loosed on earth, loosed in heaven. I was in Paris, France. I preached there for 3 months. And most everybody in that church were former members of Roman Catholic congregations. And one by one, they came to full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And every night before I preached, one would get up and they would testify of how they understood now from the Word of God their salvation is by one mediator, that is the man Christ Jesus, and their faith was totally in him. And they kept coming back to the fact that's what the Word teaches. That's what the Word teaches. I remember one day before church, I was passing out Gospels of John and Romans at a subway entrance right out from where the church was at, and I heard church bells toll up on the hill. And I didn't know it, but they were having a Jesuit priest convention. I looked up and here they came, all these black robed men. It was like a swarm coming down on me. I just kept passing out Gospels of John and Romans. This fella got one. He went down in the subway. It was cold. And he came up out of the subway. He had on a black hat. I'll never forget. He had a mustache. He had my Gospel of John rolled up in his fist. And he looked at me and said, who are you? I said, well, I'm just giving out the gospel, the Word of God. He said, you don't have a right to give the Bible to these people. And he said, this is my parish. I said, sir, the world is my parish. I said, I'm preaching at a little Baptist church right up the way. I'd love for you to come. He said, well, you know what Matthew 16 says, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I do. It said Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, no. What I'm talking about is Jesus give our first pope, Peter, the keys. And I looked at him and I said, sir, is the Pope a married man? He said, no, he cannot be. He's forbidden to be. I said, well, I was reading the Bible one day where Jesus healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And last time I checked, to have a mother-in-law, that meant you had to have a wife. He said, he abandoned his wife to go serve the Lord. I said, well, then he's not fit to be a bishop according to the Word of God. He's to be a faithful husband of one wife. And he didn't like that at all. I said, sir, the world's my parish. I'm just telling folk about Jesus. But he went down. He tried to convince me that Peter was the first pope and we didn't have any right to the keys. But man, I looked through the Word of God. No, Simon Peter says this, you've got the keys, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature. These are the keys to the kingdom of God. And having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. And it was such a refreshment being in Paris for those 3 months to see people come to faith. We had a fellow named Henry Pierre. And Henry Pierre was a priest in the Catholic Church. And he said, I'm going to see if I can live without money. Because he'd read about 666 and the Antichrist and all that. And he was out there on the street. He got invited to come in. And I remember preaching one night. And Henry Pierre, I talked to him a whole lot. And I preached there out of John on Jacob's ladder, where the angels is ascending and descending. And there was one path back and forth to heaven. And I declared how Jesus was the only path to heaven. It's not the angels. It's not the saints. He is the ladder to heaven. And God used that very message to open old Henry's eyes and said, that's it. That's it. It's not man. It's not buildings. It's not church. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. I said, you got it. And old Henry Pierre got saved by the grace of God. But you see, that's the truth we preach around the world. What Simon Peter said is the foundation of the church. Upon this, upon what? That he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that stone, upon that rock, on that foundation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when we magnify Jesus and glorify him, God is honored by that. It was such a privilege to go up and see the C.H. Spurgeon Library and all that. And but Spurgeon, if you study his life, he was a poor, pitiful man. He was in depression and different things of that nature and all that. But you know what? One thing he had a grip on, and the grip was, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he kept pointing folk to Jesus. And him that honoreth me, God said, I will honor. And as long as this church, as long as the message goes out here lifting Jesus up, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. All kinds of people, red, yellow, black, white. The Lord said the drawing power is in lifting me up and exalting me. I just want to ask you this question. Do you know him as the Christ, the Son of the living God? Is that firm? Is it sure? Is it foundational? Is it steadfast in your heart? All right, Brother Bobby, let's have a song tonight.